Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop. I'm here with Bob Hall of Shocker Radio and Shocker Television. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cincinnati game and get you started on the American Athletic Conference Tournament and the NCAA Tournament with some talk about Shocker basketball. Bob, how are you today?
Good, Paul. Glad to be with you.
Thanks for being here. Let's start with Cincinnati. The Bearcats defeated the Shockers 62-61. Fabulous game, especially I think if you like defense, if you like physical play. A lot of drama, very even statistically. What were your big takeaway from that game on Sunday?
A really hard-fought game between two really tough teams. I just thought the physical nature of the game was the thing that really stood out. Passes were contested, loose balls, there was three or four guys diving after them. Rebounds were really hard to grab a hold of. And it was hard to score. Both teams really defended well, and it was very difficult to score. And I thought it was just a really good matchup in a fantastic atmosphere.
I think if you go back to the spring and the summer when people started talking about American basketball, one of the things that came up was Wichita State and Cincinnati. Very similar teams in a lot of ways, very similar programs in a lot of ways. That turned out to be the case, I would imagine, after seeing them twice this season.
Yeah, both games. The game in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, or the game yesterday here. Both coaches, Mick Cronin and Greg Marshall, hang their hat on defense, rebounding, doing all the tough things that help a team win, and then you saw that in both ball games. Both ball games were really hard fought, very close. Two teams with a lot of pride, two teams that are used to winning, and two teams that hate to lose. And I think that was very evident in both ball games at Cincinnati and then here yesterday.
You mentioned the defense in that game, and that's been something that Shocker fans are concerned about at times. The defensive ability of this team. Is that a good sign? Wichita State held Cincinnati to some pretty good defensive numbers, held them scoreless, I think, for the last 325 of that game. Is that something positive? Did you see some good things defensively from the Shockers on Sunday?
Absolutely. I thought they played well enough defensively to win the game. In fact, they held, I don't think Cincinnati scored in the last 3 minutes. They didn't get a bucket. They might have made a free throw, but they didn't get a bucket in the last 3 minutes. When you'd normally do that in a close ball game, you're going to win that game. Unfortunately, the Shockers just couldn't knock down a big shot. They couldn't hit the shot to take the lead or expand the lead. So I think you're right. I think the defense definitely made a step forward. They did a great job of shutting Gary Clark down inside. Evans hurt him outside, and they had some other guys. I heard him outside Cumberland, but all in all, I thought the defense was usually good enough to win a game, especially at home.
Yeah, if you give up 62 points at home, especially with this Wichita State team, you would feel pretty good about getting to 70, as well as this team plays offensively. You mentioned Gary Clark. I think that's an interesting part of these two games. I think Rashard Kelly has just done a fabulous job denying him the ball, making it difficult for him. Gary Clark has played okay, but he hasn't scored like he has most of the season. Take us into that matchup a little bit. What have you seen Rashard Kelly and the Shockers do to defend Mr. Clark?
Yeah, Clark's a little bit taller than Rashard, but Rashard probably a little stronger than he is. And I think Rashard uses his quickness and his strength to really limit Clark's touches. He makes it very difficult for Clark to catch it where he wants to catch it. And then the Shocker teammates, I thought, did a nice job of dropping down and if not double-teaming the post, at least making it difficult for Clark to put the ball on the floor to make some of his signature moves. He's a really fantastic offensive player with a very large variety of moves that he can use, but the Shockers did a good job of clamping down on him.
Yeah, he was named all-conference today along with Shaq Morris, Landry Shamet, Jacob Evans from Cincinnati, and Rob Gray from Houston. And I think it's been very obvious in these two matchups, Wichita State didn't want Gary Clark to get on a roll. Last thing about Cincinnati game, we were talking about kind of the major strategic aspect to this. In the first matchup, Cincinnati was full court, very aggressive, really getting after the Shockers, and the Shockers kind of turned that against them. Landry Shamet played really well. Connor Frankamp and Austin Reeves did their part by making open shots or by passing to beat that pressure. We saw a lot different approach by Cincinnati on Sunday, where they kind of dropped into half court and made Wichita State beat them over about a span of, you know, 25, 30 feet, really shortened the game in that way. If you're Greg Marshall or if you're Mick Cronin, what happens next should they meet in Orlando? What's the counter to the counter that we saw on Sunday?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. They're probably not going to think about that for a few days, because that wouldn't be till Sunday afternoon, and there's a lot of tough ball games between now and then. But if they would happen to meet next Sunday, it would be very interesting to see. I would think Cincinnati would be inclined to play the same way that they played and won the game yesterday, play it closer to the vest, not stretch out their defense so much, not pressure and trap as much. The Shockers really used that pressure against them in the first game at Cincinnati. They spread their defense out and got the matchups that they wanted and let the guards attack their bigs. And this game, Cincinnati did not pressure as much, did not trap as much, and really jammed up the lane and made Wichita State hit contested shots over the top of the defense. So if I had to guess right now, I would say he'd probably stick with that strategy.
Yeah, I think both teams can look at these two games and say we did enough things right that then it came down to, you know, a bounce here, a shot that rolls in or a shot that rolls out, and you can kind of do what you do best. And if they play on Sunday, it would be highly anticipated, a lot of fun. All right, back to Sunday. Almost as big as the game, six seniors, guys that I think played a really interesting role in this program's development. They were the transition, the bridge from, you know, what you might call the Baker, Klee Anthony Early, Fred Van Fleet, that era, and to this new era, which has been very successful as well. Let's run through these six seniors and give some quick thoughts on these guys. Let's start with Shaq Morris. Bob, kind of summarize your thoughts on Shaq.
What a 5 years Shaq Morris has had. A lot of ups and downs. Battled the coaching staff for a year or two. Battled injuries. Battled conditioning. A lot of his problems his first two or three years was just getting in shape enough to stay out on the court long enough. He got into foul trouble a lot. But last year, towards the end of the year, he really played well. And I thought he played really well against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, kind of playing Bam Adebayo pretty even in that game, I thought, in Indianapolis. And then I think he carried that into this year. And it looked like Shaq played like a senior, like, I've only got 1 year left. This is my last go around. I'm going to make the best of it. And the last few games, he's been playing 30 minutes a game, been scoring 20 to 25 points a game, getting more rebounds, getting on the floor for loose balls. Really unstoppable down the low post and leading the league in block shots. So I thought Shaq had a great year. Might be the MVP of the league. It's going to be an interesting vote to see who gets that.
Yeah, you could certainly make that argument that he's been Wichita State's MVP, MVP of the American Athletic Conference. I think what's interesting about Shaq, you know, maybe before his or during his sophomore year, before his junior year, we would wonder, well, what could this guy do if he could ever get up to playing 25 minutes a game? And now we know, because he's hitting 25 minutes pretty regularly, playing 30 minutes without much problems. And it's really been fun to see him mature in all those ways. And I would agree, the senior, you know, over the last, especially since maybe the first of the year, just been a really mature player. You can see him, you know, guiding people out on the court, staying out of fouls, using his experience. It's really been a fun transition for him to get to where he is, and he's having a strong, strong senior year.
And interesting going through this new league to hear the opposing coaches' evaluation of Shaq Morris, and they've just been heaping praise on him for the last month and talking about how hard he is to stop and how big a factor he is in their defensive game plan.
Definitely. And that's one of the things, you know, get back to Wichita State's defense that I would always be optimistic about. When you've got a guy that can block shots back there like Shaq can, that always gives you a chance, I think, to be competitive defensively. He can really deter people around the rim. Yeah, it's been an interesting 5 years with Shaq. He's handled a lot of tough questions pretty well, with pretty good humor, because there have been the questions, about getting in shape and playing hard and all those kind of things. And I think, much to his credit, he's handled them pretty well, and I'm glad that it's turning out with such a strong senior season. Connor Francamp, tell me about him.
Well, Connor, you know, transferring from Kansas, and I don't know if anybody's come in here with more expectations than Connor Frankamp, because so many people saw him in high school at North High, and the fantastic things he did offensively at North High. So I think people thought, well, you know, wow, he's going to do that here at Wichita State. And it took a while for that to come around, because I thought he was very hesitant when he first started playing. He joined the team mid-year, and so he didn't become eligible until mid-year. And he was joining a team with Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker. And I thought he kind of deferred to them a lot that year and let them do most of the shooting and create most of the offense. And then he just kind of let them pass to him. But this year, I thought he took a big step forward and started creating himself, started driving the basketball, especially this last month. I thought he really stepped up and got away from just being a catch-and-shoot guy and started driving to the basket, started making some one-on-one moves, hit some key buckets in games to help the Shockers win, hit a key bucket in the second, towards the end of that Central Florida game to help win that game. So it was really, I thought, neat to see Connor come full circle and get back to playing like the Connor Frankamp that played at North High.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think he's gained some confidence going to the basket or pump faking and two dribbles and floaters and things like that. I think that's been really, really key to his development. Obviously, just a great shooter and plays a really important role in the offense. You know, he's a great passer, but I also think he's a great kind of hockey assist guy. He keeps the ball moving and really seems to have a good sense of, you know, the ball needs to go here, and then it can get there. And I think that's something that has been an important part of what he gives to this team.
Yeah, he's been around basketball all his life. His dad, Marty, is a basketball coach, played for Gary Squires at North High, and he's gotten good coaching all the way up from Biddy all the way up through. So he's got a really good feel for the game. And when he's out there with Landry Shamet, it's almost like they're connected to each other and they know where each other are on the court. And you're absolutely right. Those guys do a good job of moving the ball. And I would throw in Austin Reeves there too. He does a really good job of moving the basketball as those guys do. And they get the ball moving. And every announcer that does the games on television always talks about how well the Shockers pass the ball, how well they swing it from side to side. They get the ball inside. And Connor's a big part of that.
Equally important, he rarely turns the ball over, and I know that's a big reason why he's on the court so much. I think Greg Marshall has a tremendous amount of confidence in him that he's going to do the right things. He's not going to take chances and does not turn the ball over. Spaces the floor. I think he's always a threat. Even if he does not shoot particularly well within a game, he helps his teammates just by the threat that he causes.
Well, yeah, one of the reasons that Shaq's so effective inside is because you got Connor out there and you got Landry Shamet out there, and then, of course, Reeves, too. They all shoot the three tremendously well, and they space the court well. And so it's hard for the defense to jam many defenders inside around Shaq and around the other big guys. So, yeah, that makes a big difference when you run your offense.
Rashard Kelly turned into a fabulous offensive rebounder this season. He's kind of on the defensive unit for the Shockers. Your thoughts on Rashard Kelly?
You know, I wasn't sure how much time Rashard was going to get this year, although he was a very valuable player, especially down the stretch in the conference play last season and in the NCAA tournament against Dayton and Kentucky. But I was, you know, with Willis having another year and possibly wanting to play a bigger lineup, play Willis at four and McDuffie at three, I was trying to think, you know, where would Rashard fit in? But Rashard just did what Rashard does. He plays defense. He gets on the floor for loose balls. He crashes the boards. And last year and then this year, I think he's the energy guy. He's the guy that gives the team energy, whether it was off the bench last year or as a starter this year. He's the guy, he's the leader, he's the emotional leader, he's the heart and soul of the Shocker team. And I think he carries onto the court Greg Marshall's personality, because he's just the guy that fights and does all the dirty stuff and doesn't shoot much, but is a very valuable player.
And has really embraced that role of being the dirty work or the glue guy, whatever you want to call it. I think he said he doesn't like taking jump shots. He wants to take it to the basket. I think that's important to have people who will accept their roles. And Rashard knows he's not going to be a big scorer most nights, but he's happy to do all the other things and has really emerged into a big vocal leader. He seems to be the one that will say things and that people will listen to. And that's been a big part of his junior and going into his senior season. He's really taken that role.
And that was a big problem with this team. This team is not a vocal team. Landry Shamet's pretty quiet. And Connor Frankamp's very quiet, doesn't say much. Zach Brown doesn't say much. So normally that comes from the guards. But this year it had to come from Rashard Kelly. And then I think it carried over into other players. I think Shamet mentioned in some of your interviews yesterday that he learned from Rashard, learned how to be more vocal and be more of a vocal leader. So Rashard definitely stepped into that role and led the team in practice. And, you know, Greg Marshall runs really tough practices, and it's tough to get through them, especially younger guys and transfers. And Rashard taught them how to handle that kind of intense coaching and how to keep the team together and how to move forward.
When you talk about Rashard Kelly, it kind of naturally leads you into Zach Brown, who fills a lot of the same roles, very good defender, especially perimeter defender. Has really improved his three-point shot this year, especially in American play. He hasn't been as streaky as he has been in years past. Zach Brown.
Well, Zach Brown, like Rashard, 6'6". They're just about the same height. I think Rashard's just a little bit taller. But Zach's a 6'6", strong athlete, and just the top defender. One of the top defenders in the American Athletic Conference, and the top defender on the Shocker team. And he's the guy that always gets the assignment. He's got to guard the best player on the other team. And the thing about Zach that's so valuable is he can guard a guard or a forward or a small forward, even a power forward, because he's tall enough and strong enough to match up with those guys. So not only can you put him on that guy and try to shut a guy down, but they can also do a lot of switching with Zach and Rashard and Landry Shamet and Reeves and Willis, and that switching is really effective in shutting teams down. But you're right, Zach Brown did shoot it better this year, shot it more consistently, especially in league play, and went 3-for-3 yesterday against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think he's up almost close to 40% in American Athletic Conference play, and that's really where he can be of great benefit to Wichita State, is kind of that 3-and-D guy. They don't want him driving to the basket a whole lot. They want him playing defense, and then they want him taking open jump shots. And boy, when he makes those, you know, I think as we've seen, that can really make Wichita State an effective offensive team. Darrell Willis, the newcomer of the group, he's been here two seasons and contributed a lot of entertaining moments. What are your thoughts on Darrell?
Yeah, Greg Marshall's teams have always sprinkled in a few junior college guys. And you think back and into previous years, some of the guys that transferred from junior college, Joe Ragland, Clevin Hanna, Carl Hall, and Malcolm Armstead was a transfer. But the junior college guys, it usually takes them a year to kind of assimilate into this system and into how Greg Marshall coaches and how hard they have to play and how controlled they have to play. And that's always been a battle with Darrell Willis, because he just likes to get it and go. You know, he doesn't like to think about it or run the play. He just wants to get it and score. He's a player with a lot of confidence. He believes he can score every time he catches a ball. And I think it took a while, but the coaches finally kind of got him thinking about, well, you don't have to shoot every time you catch it. You know, sometimes you can set your teammate up and you'll be harder to stop if you pass the ball every now and then. And he developed into a pretty good passer, I thought, this year. I thought they ran a lot of nice high-low plays with Willis at the high post and Shaq at the low post, and he and Rashard Kelly and Ron Onerger. And I thought Willis really came along and probably one of the most explosive guys in the conference off the bench. When he came off the bench, he's averaging, 11 points and about six or seven, maybe five or six boards. And he can make a lot happen in a hurry coming off the bench.
Yeah, when Darrell Willis is your sixth man or your first big man coming off the bench, you know you've got a good thing going. I've just found him immensely entertaining to watch because of his confidence, because he's gonna get the ball and he's gonna score. The left-handed moves, I think, must be hard to guard. I keep coming back to that. It's just got to be difficult because he's just kind of got that unorthodox style. That shot he hit at Central Florida was, you know, you wouldn't coach anybody to make a shot like that, a one-legged fadeaway. But that's kind of what he does, and that's part of the fun of watching Darryl Willis, I think.
You never know what he's going to do, and the defense never knows what he's going to do. I'm not sure Darryl knows what he's going to do, but he's effective at it, and he's unorthodox, and being left-handed makes it tricky on defending a guy anyway. But he made a couple of really interesting moves down to Central Florida in that game earlier in the week. He made a drive earlier when he drove the basket, jumped off the wrong foot, went sideways, and made a basket off the glass. But that little step back fadeaway in overtime with just a minute or so to go was a key bucket in that overtime victory down to Central Florida.
No doubt. Ron Underger also has some signature moves that I think people will always remember him for. What are your thoughts on Rono?
Rono was a guy who comes from Estonia, and I think he adjusted to the intensity and the physical nature of this brand of basketball. It took him a while to realize how physical it is and how to rebound with two hands. But Rono's been an effective guy off the bench for Greg Marshall. He came in, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, when the Shockers had to go through Dayton in that play-in game, the first four, they were in foul trouble. Everybody was in foul trouble. Shaq was out. Kelly was out. The other bigs were out. And Rono had to play about 20 minutes that half against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a huge team. And I thought that was kind of his coming out party, where he played really well and made a couple of buckets, blocked a couple shots, got some rebounds. And that gave him a lot of confidence going into his junior year. His junior year, he did a lot of really nice stuff off the bench. And then this senior year, he's been really solid. Doesn't score a lot, but he was kind of been a pick-and-pop guy all of his career, where he can set a screen on the perimeter, pop away. When they double-team the guard, he's open for that three-pointer and can knock that three-pointer down. Didn't shoot it great this conference season, but he's always been really good from the outside. And he's got that patented left-handed hook shot off the glass that the crowd really loves. So a very popular player at Wichita State, I think, Ron Underger.
Yeah, that's how good programs stay good and become good, is when you have a senior like Rono who's coming off the bench, who's been through it all, and, you know, comes off the bench for you when he would be starting for so many teams. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, that Wichita State has been able to do, is recruit that kind of talent. And, you know, they take their roles and they do a really good job at them. I think Rono is definitely one of those guys who's improved over his 4 years here and played a really, really important role this year.
That's one of the byproducts of Greg Marshall's system, that where you play 11, 12 guys a lot. And people say, well, why do they play so many guys? But that's one thing, advantage to that, is it develops guys. It gives guys more minutes that normally wouldn't get that many minutes with a team that only plays 8 or 9.
No doubt. That's the six seniors. They won the Missouri, or shared the Missouri Valley Conference Championship last year, went to the NCAA tournament. They'll be back in the NCAA tournament this year after taking over the transition to the American and finishing second. Won some big road games, won at Baylor, at Oklahoma State, at Cincinnati. So they will leave here with a really good legacy. Let's talk some more about defense, because that's definitely been a topic this season. This has not been as strong a defensive team as Wichita State coaches are used to, as fans are used to. What are your thoughts about that? How is that going to shape the rest of the season for the Shockers?
Well, definitely a step in the right direction yesterday against Cincinnati, as we mentioned earlier. They really played well defensively against Cincinnati. And I thought at times played well defensively against Central Florida earlier in the week. So maybe they're turning the corner there defensively. I think the Shocker coaches have had to kind of change their philosophy a little bit. They wanted to press more, extend more, deny passes, and really take people out of their offense. And I think probably about 10 games ago, they reevaluated and said, no, maybe we ought to, you know, back it off, press full court, but in the half court, let's protect the lane, let's protect the basket, let's do more switching, and let's try to stop that penetrating to the baskets, because that was their problem. They were having a hard time staying in front of people and keeping them from driving to the basket.
Obviously different personnel than 2 or 3 years ago. Also, the rules have changed. The officiating has changed some. How much do we, you know, account for some of the defensive changes to the way games are officiated?
Yeah, I think both. I think you can point to both reasons. obviously Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, Tekale Cotton were just tremendous defenders, and they were really good at the point of attack. And made it difficult for guards to run their offense and to get by their defender. These guys aren't quite as good at the point of attack. Landry, Austin, Connor, and even Zach Brown aren't as good at the point of attack than those guys. And then I think you brought up a really good point. I think the refereeing has changed the game, and everybody in college basketball is having a hard time stopping penetration. Everybody in college basketball is having a hard time defending the ball screens because the referees will not let you hand check. They will not let you hold and bump, and they're calling fouls on that. So it's freeing up the guards and giving them more freedom to drive to the basket and create.
When I think about Wichita State's defense, I think that, one, it's not, or rarely is it, an energy thing. I think they're playing hard on defense. And secondly, you would have confidence that, you know, that the Wichita State coaches know how to coach defense. They know the schemes. They know those kind of things. So if you have those two things, you know, you always have some potential for improvement. And so this team is just going to, you know, it doesn't have to be as dominant a defensive team as maybe they were a couple years ago because they are so good offensively.
I've heard that from the assistant coaches. That's kind of one of their thinking, is that maybe a reason we're not good defensively is that the players don't feel like they have to be, because hey, we're going to outscore this team. You know, we can. You know, they can score 75 because we're going to score 85. So the it's not as critical a factor in the games and winning ball games, stopping the opponent. So that might be part of it. I think it's also the new league. This league has a lot of talented players and very talented offensive players, and no knock on the Missouri Valley Conference. But when you line up against Missouri State or Southern, they might have one or two guys that are as talented as the top guys in the Shocker team. But the other guys, the complementary players, you didn't have to guard them as hard. Where in the American Athletic Conference, you look at Temple, you look at Tulane, you look at Houston. I mean, they got talented guys up and down the lineup and guys coming off the bench, and they're all guys that can shoot and they can all penetrate and they're all dangerous offensive players. So I think, as Greg Marshall said, I think in a quote I heard yesterday or the day before, that he feels that the Shockers went up a couple of weight classes when they went from the Missouri Valley Conference to the AAC.
Yeah, Temple would be a great example of that. Tulane, too, I think. You know, you may think in terms of in the Valley, you know, when Wichita State played Drake, they could throw every best defender they had at Reed Timmer. You know, Zach Brown was going to get a chance. Marcus McDuffie was going to get a chance. And then they could live with the rest of the team. You know, a team like Tulane, Cameron Reynolds is really good. You got to guard him, but you also got to guard Melvin Frazier. So it really is a big difference, definitely. All right, let's look ahead to the conference tournament. Starts Thursday in Orlando at the Amway Center. Wichita State will play Friday at 6 on ESPNU. They will play either 7-seeded Temple or 10-seeded Tulane. We saw Temple twice. They're the team that I think would be of most interest to people because two dramatic games, two really entertaining games. Temple won in overtime in Philadelphia, and then Wichita State had to come back from they were down 14, am I remembering that right?
Yeah, right, halftime.
14 at halftime, and then really got back into it quickly in the second half. Great crowd in that game, and really exciting. What were your impressions of Temple from seeing them twice?
Really surprising that they've lost as many games as they had. They're 16-14, they're 8-10 in the league, but I feel they're one of the most talented teams in the league. Player for player, they can line up with the Shockers and match them athlete for athlete, size for size. In fact, they're a little bit taller than the Shockers are at many positions. So an interesting matchup. They've got Quentin Rose, a 6'8 forward that's a sophomore that was almost unstoppable here, and a very talented player, Shiz Alston, 6'2 shooting guard that can light you up. He's had a bunch of games over 30 points a game. He can really play. Anetje Onya, a 6'10 player that shoots the three. And then they have size inside. They can match up with Shaq Morris and Daryl Willis. And they've got a bench. They got guys coming off the bench. Pierre Louis is on the all-freshman team. He comes off the bench. So they play 10-11 deep. They're talented. They can shoot it. And like you said, two great ball games. The Shockers lost in overtime there, had some opportunities to win that game, but couldn't knock down shots. And Shiz also made a great play at the end of that game for Temple to beat the Shockers. And in the game here, they just blitzed the Shockers in the first half, shot 69% from three in the first half, hit 11 of 15 threes in the first half, had the Shockers down by 14. And I think the Shockers fought back with the help of the crowd. The Roundhouse crowd really helped them come back in that ball game and defeat Temple here a week ago. But it took all night to do it.
Temple is they're the mystery team, I think, as you alluded to in this conference. I counted up earlier, they have 8 wins against teams in the top 100 of the Pomeroy rankings, which is really, really good. Should be an at-large candidate with that. But they've also lost some mystifying games. They've lost 4 of 5 heading into Orlando, so it's kind of unknown what team will show up.
Yeah, they've lost 4 of 5, but earlier in the season they beat Auburn, they beat Clemson, they beat Wisconsin, beat Wichita State. So they've proven that they can beat anybody, but they for whatever reason are not playing really good basketball right now.
We saw Tulane once, another exciting game. Melvin Frazier was just incredible in the second half. What do you remember about the Green Wave?
Very talented. Shockers got him in foul trouble. They got 2 fouls on Melvin Frazier and Cameron in the first half, so they had to sit about the last 8 minutes of the first half, and the Shockers built a lead going into halftime. But in the second half, Mike Dunleavy just let those guys go, and he's got a real pro-style offense where they can isolate individual players on individual defenders, and that's what he did in the second half. And Melvin Frazier just went off in the second half, and the Shockers couldn't stop him, and they had to really battle to win that ball game. And Tulane's really pretty close to the bottom of the league, you know, and the Shockers had to battle to win that game. Very talented offensive players.
A little bit different feel to a conference tournament this year. If we were, you know, other years at this point, we'd be done. We'd be back from St. Louis already today and trying to figure out what was next. The other different feel is, you know, we know Wichita State is in the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's absolutely no worry about, you know, you need to win a game or two, or you need to get to Sunday. Do you have a feel for what would be most helpful as far as getting the Shockers a better NCAA tournament seed, you know, in Orlando, as far as could they move up a line if they win the whole thing? Could they move up 2 lines? Yeah, have you thought about those kind of things?
I guess it's possible. I think if you look at it today, most of the Lenardi or Palm has them, I think, at a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think they, with a win over Cincinnati, they might have gone to a 3 seed. Cincinnati's moved up to a 2 seed in some of those. So I guess you can move up, because there's a lot of teams getting knocked off around the country. So, I mean, maybe the Shockers could move up from a 4 to a 3. And I think definitely they're getting more respect because of the changing conference. I think the seed line, last year they were a 10. I thought they should have been about a 6 or 7 going into the NCAA tournament. And this year I think they're getting more respect because of the conference that they're in and the teams that they've had to play in conference. And so I think it's important. Probably the most important thing is just be playing well when you go into the NCAA tournament. So I would say, more than the seed, it's important that they go down to Orlando and win that Friday game against Temple or Tulane, and then probably going to play Houston on Saturday afternoon and try to win that game. Houston's playing better than anybody in the conference right now, so that's going to be a really tough game. So I just want them to win that game Friday and then see if they can beat Houston and get in that championship game, and then who knows what will happen on the rubber game with Cincinnati.
The nice thing about this situation is you're going to the conference tournament and you're not just trying to maintain or avoid disaster. You know, if things break right, and if you do win Friday, and if you do play Houston, if you do play Cincinnati, you've got a chance to really buff up that resume and really make some gains. And that was, that's a big part of moving into this conference, why Wichita State wanted to do it, and they've got a chance to do that this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a good position to be in. They don't have to win the conference to get in the NCAA tournament, so you're not going to have as much pressure on you as you've had in recent years. at the Missouri Valley Conference tournament in St. Louis. The last couple of years, they may have been left out had they lost the conference tournament down there in St. Louis, because they got lower seeds than they were expecting to get. But this year, they feel confident they're going to get in, and so that'll take some pressure off. But I think they want to keep winning. They've won, eight of their last nine games, so they want to keep winning and take some momentum into the NCAA tournament.
No doubt. All right, Bob, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. We will see you in Orlando and enjoy the tournament.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.